The Cultured Meat Symposium is back in San Francisco on October 28th and 29th, 2022. This year, the theme of the event is creativity and commerce. Learn more and register at www.cms2022.com. Thanks for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show. We're excited to welcome Tobias on today's episode. Tobias Mesma is a junior scientist at the Stemness and Isolation team at Mosameat and a PhD student at Maastricht University. After completing his BS and MS in molecular biotechnology at Heidelberg University and laboratory internships at Cambridge University and Harvard University, Tobias's current work focuses on bioinformatic and molecular characterization of muscle progenitor cells during the proliferation and differentiation phases of cultivated meat production. In 2020, Tobias has co-founded the Cellular Agriculture Online Symposium, better known as CAOS, an online platform to facilitate scientific exchange in the cell ag space. It's always a pleasure to work with Tobias, and I'm really excited to have him on the show. Let's jump right in. Thanks for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show. We are super excited to have Tobias Mesma on this call today. Tobias, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Alex. Thanks for the invitation. I'm really a huge fan of your podcast, and it's an honor to get the opportunity to talk about our work with you guys.
I'm excited to go into not only the work that you're doing, but also some of the projects that we've worked on together. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm from Germany. I studied molecular biotechnology, both for my bachelor's and master's at Heidelberg University, because I was really interested at that time in a field called tissue engineering that I heard about in school, and that really got me very excited. And yeah, at the same time, when I started my bachelor's, I've read about this guy in the Netherlands called Mark Post, who apparently just used this very technique, tissue engineering, to make real muscle without the need of slaughtering animals. And since I've been vegetarian at that time, and still am, I got really curious about this. So fast forward 3 years to my master's, we had to do research internships as part of my study program. So I remembered that I was reading about this cultured meat thing, and I reached out to Mark and asked if I could join him. Yeah, that was in 2018. And luckily, after 10 emails or so, he answered and said that he'd be happy to have me around for this internship. And yeah, it was actually just a very short internship, only around 9 weeks or so. But it ended up being one of the most important internships I've ever done, because after that, both Mark and I were quite happy about how it went. And he said that he would raise Series A funding by the end of that year. So he asked me whether I'd be interested in doing a PhD at Mosameat. Yeah, this is a bit of my background. So of course, the answer was quite easy for me. And I started right after my master's in 2019 here at Mosameat in the Stemness and Isolation team.
Wow, that is cool. And so many of the stories that we hear do start with, I emailed Mark Post. So I want to quickly ask, you mentioned that you're from Germany, vegetarian. When did you decide to go vegetarian, actually?
That's actually also a bit of a funny story. So my dad originally is a butcher, and he now works in a fairly big meat company. So meat has always been quite a big topic in our family. And we always had really delicious meat at our home. And I also really loved it. The love for this taste is still around. But I also was always interested in philosophy. And I was actually in school discussing with a friend, and he was asking me whether I could give him ethical reasons for how I can justify eating meat. And I thought about it, and I gave it a week or so. And except for it tastes great, I just couldn't come up with any. And there were a lot of reasons that spoke against it. So at that time, I just decided that I would try not eating it anymore. And it was easier than I thought. But yeah, this crave for this taste, this is still there. And luckily, my family was extremely supportive of this. And my dad is also a great cook. So he then just use this opportunity to get into new recipes, I would say.
Cool. Yeah. And it's interesting when we think of like the primary reason why we are consuming animals is for the taste. It's weird to even think about it when you say it out loud. So that's definitely interesting. Now, your PhD was done at Mosameat. Is that because of the collaboration between Mosameat and the Maastricht University? Or so how does that work? Can you maybe shed some light on that?
Mark is still a professor here at Maastricht University, so therefore it's quite easy on paper for him to be our PhD supervisor. And he's really still a scientist at heart. And when you talk to Mark, and you might have also heard him in the International Scientific Conference about Cultured Meat, which he's the organizer of, he's really still a very driven scientist. And this is why he initially made the decision that Mozamit will also have PhD students. And some of the research that we are doing can really help advance the field. And we want to inform academia and academic research in the cultured meat field. And therefore, we're also having those PhD students here.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I was recently speaking with someone from the Netherlands, like economic board, and she was mentioning how it is very clear the relationship between companies and universities, and they play fair, where I feel like in the US, you actually don't see that as much as you might in Europe or, you know, specifically the Netherlands.
We actually have PhD students distributed all over our research teams here at Mozamit. So that's also quite exciting. They dive into every aspect of cultured meat.
That's cool. And it totally makes sense for this type of industry too. I want to just quickly touch on some of the really the work that we've done through CAOS, or the Cellular Agriculture Online Symposium. And I guess it was pre-pandemic that we created that first one. Is that right?
I think Corona just about hit. Yeah, we thought that because now people were not able to together anymore, that it would be very sad if the scientific community would now not get the chance to discuss results in that year and just latest findings. Freya Mehta, you, Anita, and I were just thinking of offering this potential alternative to have people present online what they're currently working on. And it worked out quite well, I would say. The community is now fairly big, over 1,000 people.
Yeah, and actually, it's crazy how fast that Slack channel grew, and it's good that we're using it even today. I'll put links in the show notes for CAOS if you haven't been able to check that out, but definitely a good resource that we're keeping up. So I want to bring the conversation back to this publication. First, tell us really at a high level, what is this publication about?
Yeah, absolutely. In this publication, we work together with two other teams here at Mozamit, our medium development team and our muscle team. And the goal was to make a cell culture medium that will make our muscle progenitor cells differentiate into muscle. The study can basically be divided into two parts. First, we describe how we've gone about to understand this process of muscle differentiation a bit better. And then in the second part, we use this knowledge to develop a medium that is serum-free and can very consistently initiate muscle differentiation of these satellite cells.
Is this the answer to that question that everyone has been having as that big challenge, right? Is this really the solution? We have overcome the FBS problem?
Yeah, we have announced here at Mozamit that we removed FBS from our process in our blog post in 2019.
Great. And I want to mention, so it's serum free. Does that mean it's also completely animal free?
Yes, the medium is completely animal free. In the study, we've created BAMs, so bioartificial muscles, you call them, for which we used a collagen matrigel solution, which is not animal free, but when we submitted the study, that was already over a year ago, and we have improved our process a lot since. So by now, we are also completely animal component free.
Okay, great. And can you shed some light or very kind of high level definition of what serum starvation is and why it's important in this scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with all current protocols for muscle differentiation is that they initiate this process by either of the following two ways. They use genetic modification to insert a switch, a genetic cassette, into your cells that will make them differentiate when you give them a certain trigger, like an antibioticum, for example. This is something we excluded to do because we want to create completely GMO-free meat. The other option is to use a process that you just mentioned, which is called serum starvation. This is a process in which you very abruptly reduce the concentration of FBS, so of fetal bovine serum, from around 20% in the growth medium, which is the medium that you give to your cells when you want them to proliferate, down to approximately 1 or 2% when you want your cells to differentiate. So basically what the serum starvation does is it kicks your cell out of this growth phase right into the differentiation phase. But for us, it is really fundamental to the success of cultured meat to not use any of this fetal bovine serum in our whole process. And we were able to completely remove it already in 2019 from our growth medium. There are multiple reasons why we wanted to do this, scientific ones. For example, batch-to-batch variation between the FBS. It contains a lot of undefined components as well, but also non-scientific reasons like cost and, most importantly, animal welfare. So it really would go against our core values to continue using this. And therefore, since serum starvation relies on the use of FBS, we had to find an alternative way to induce muscle differentiation.
Interesting. Okay, thanks for clarifying. And for someone that does not have a science background and kind of looking at this at a high level, knowing that serum starvation is used with FBS, now that makes a lot of sense. This seems like actually a very big deal, this, I guess, serum-free formulation. Is this kind of that solution to this big challenge that the industry has been talking about for so long that we need an alternative to the media?
So the importance of this for us was quite high because it's something that just hasn't been done yet, differentiating cells without the use of any FBS or genetic modifications. Yeah, it was really an important milestone in the field of cultured meat. And this is why we've also decided to put that information out there, because we really hope that especially the underlying methodology that we used here in this paper could be interesting for the academic field of cultured meat. Of course, that's why we've also filed a patent for this. And we also continue to improve this exact formulation since submitting the study. But we really hope that it can inform some of the work of researchers that are out there who would like to work FBS-free in their lab. And we want to show it is possible. This is not a dream. You can culture and differentiate your cells without FBS or animal components.
So you explained to us a little bit about why this is so important. Can you tell us a little bit about how your team was able to achieve this and what's really outlined in the paper?
Yeah, so in order to solve a problem like this, we really first wanted to understand it. Therefore, we set out to investigate this transition that occurs when you change your cells from high concentrations of FBS to low concentrations. And for this, we used a technique called RNA sequencing, which is a very elegant technique, fairly established by now. It's been around for around 10 years. And it's a technique that I simply love and that we use quite often here at Mozamit, because it lets you study your cell behavior, your cell identity, cellular substage, and much more in huge detail. And you can use all of this data to inform your research. In this paper, we used RNA sequencing to find out what's going on when we switch our cells from these high FBS concentrations to low. We analyzed that data and we found that there were a couple of genes that related to cell cycle, so genes that make your cells proliferate. And they were now downregulated, which means that they were less expressed suddenly, which makes sense because when we look at our cells under a microscope, we see that they stop dividing and start fusing into these little myotubes. Another thing that we saw was that a lot of genes that are known in the field of muscle biology, so-called myogenic regulators, were highly upregulated, which also made sense because this is the genetic program of our cells that they activate when fusing into myotubes or into these little muscle fibers. And finally, and this was the exciting part, we also found half a dozen of genes that code for so-called surface receptors. So these are proteins that are on the outside of your cells and proteins that receive cues from other cells, from the cell medium, and so on. And we found that a couple of those were also very strongly upregulated because of this serum starvation. So when you switch from high to low FBS. So when we saw them being upregulated, we thought, hey, maybe if these receptors are upregulated, the cells need them to be activated in order to start this differentiation program. So we reasoned that if we would now just make a serum-free medium and then activate those surface receptors by supplying the ligands to them, we could potentially stimulate a similar cellular program as during serum starvation. And you can imagine how happy we were when we found out that this was true. So we supplied a mixture of the different ligands and found that this specific combinations that we were using was able to induce differentiation to a very similar degree as serum starvation does, however, without the use of any FBS.
Now, would the next step be to see how this all takes place once we start to scale? Is that a kind of concern, or are there more challenges that need to be overcome regarding the media specifically?
Yeah, precisely. Scale up is currently the biggest challenge, I would say, both for Mozamit, but also for the field in general. But of course, there are many other challenges that are still left. If I'm only looking from a molecular biological viewpoint, which is where I'm coming from, it is also that the cells that we're using, you cannot differentiate them forever, let's say. at one point, they lose the capacity for really strong differentiation. This is also labeled as stemness. So the stemness of those cells decreases at one point, which means that they're starting to be not as proliferative anymore and are not that capable of differentiating into really nice myotubes. And therefore, this is something that we are currently working on in our team in really that fast pace.
We're recording this in a time where we have seen a couple other announcements from other companies specifically related to media. So, for example, Upside Foods released what they are calling the ACF. Aleph Farms has announced this agreement with a producer for quote unquote open sourcing some of their animal-free serum. Do you have any thoughts on that or timing, industry related or anything like that?
My main comment is a question. Isn't that amazing? This is precisely what people were debating about not even 2 years ago. So many people were saying it's not possible to culture all the cells in an animal component-free environment. And now all these companies come up with creative solutions. And you really see what happens when people who are really driven put their minds together and work on a product that they're really convinced of. And I would say we are focusing on what we're doing here at Mosamit. We all have this common goal of reducing the use of animals in our food system. Yeah, it's great to see so much advances going on.
It's one thing that I haven't seen in other industries, even in the life sciences, and you're completely right. Everyone is there to advance the greater good. And I think that overall mission-driven alignment is really what it's taking there. And it is amazing to see. As this paper is now published, what will be some of your kind of continued work at Mosamit? And is this going to be the road to the end of your PhD?
So this was only one of the four chapters in my PhD thesis, most likely. I'm actually right now in the middle of an experiment, I have to say, and I will have to return to the lab soon. There's a lot of cool stuff coming out soon. And personally, I'm even more excited about the next story compared to this publication, because we're currently working very strongly on the stemness in our cells and on characterizing our cells in a depth and resolution that I think is unprecedented in the cultured meat field, by using a technique called single-cell RNA sequencing to inform all our research. And I don't want to spoil too much here, but definitely keep your eyes open. There's going to be more cool publication coming.
Great. Awesome. Now that we are claiming that this challenge of media, which is really a challenge that a lot of people have been identifying as one of the main challenges for quite some time, now that this challenge is overcome, what would you say, and maybe a little bit more specifically than just the idea of scaling, because that seems to be what everyone else is saying that the next challenge is, but a little bit more specifically, what would you say is the next challenge that the industry needs to overcome?
It goes hand in hand with scaling up, but I think more specifically, the challenge will have to be cost. We want to make a product that is accessible for everyone. And likely it will start on a more premium price level, but once we scale up production, but also bring down the price of single components that we're using, we will be able to be in a more competitive price range. And this is really the challenge that we have now. We now have a medium that we know works for our cells, but every single component in this medium will have to be cheap enough to use in a large scale. And this is what our medium development is currently working on a lot. You can recycle some of the medium components. You can have a look when which component is consumed by your cells, to what degree, which concentrations remain, how much you have to feed back into the process. And I think optimizing this is a process that really will need a lot of work, but is really essential for this technology to work.
It's been a couple of years since we've had anyone from Mosamit on the show. I think Peter Vestrada was on back in 2018. And I wanted to ask if there are any updated ballparks on the average unit price. Is there anything that has been published about how much the cost has come down per pound or per kilogram over the last year or so?
Yeah, as we're currently still optimizing our processes for best quality, taste, efficiency, we do not currently have exact cost figures to share, unfortunately. But yeah, we are working towards making it accessible as soon as we can.
That's great. And I think a lot of times when you do hear the industry saying like, oh, we brought it down to this much per pound or that much per pound or whatever it may be, You're exactly right. These are really just figures that don't necessarily mean too much, and it doesn't necessarily have too much weight to it because it is something that is continuously being optimized.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think there's still so much work that we have to put into and so many steps in this process that we want to optimize.
For those interested in getting involved with this industry, perhaps somebody is finishing up a bachelor's and thinking about graduate studies, or maybe somebody that is in industry but wants to get into the world of cultured meat. What advice do you have for those that might be interested?
First of all, the most important advice is just get involved if you're exciting. Don't worry about if your scientific background is enough. Doesn't really matter if you're a scientist or a lawyer or an engineer or if you're working into marketing. If you want to get involved, you can, because this field is still so young and it needs help from every side. And the most important thing is that you have to be driven about this and you really want to get into it. And there are multiple different resources. Of course, you can go to the companies that you're interested in. Mozameat always has exciting new job applications coming up, but there are also more general overviews that you can look at. For example, if you're already a researcher in the field, the GFI Whitespaces is a great resource that you can look at to identify a topic that you could potentially work on. And there are many more out there.
You had mentioned that you joined the company as that original internship, the 9-week internship program. That was back in 2018, right?
Yes, but at that time, Mozameat only existed on paper. So that was still in the laboratory of Mark at the Maastricht University. I then finished my master's and then came back to Mozameat in 2019.
Wow. And so you've seen Mozameat grow from that small startup to now a startup that has actually grown quite a bit. How has that experience been to see that growth?
Oh man, it's unbelievable to me, especially the pace at which the things happen is so cool. You have to imagine when we were working in 2009 at Mozameat, we didn't have headquarters. So we were still in the university. There was one bench at which we could work on and two or three cell culture hoods. To the end of 2019, we were already 20 people. We sometimes had to sit with two people at the same time in a hood and sharing the whole lab with 8 or 10 people at the same time. You would share a desk in the beginning because the rooms were filling up so quickly. And in the beginning, at so many times, it felt chaotic because we were just figuring out things while we were doing them. And doing a PhD in an environment like this is also quite funny because you're not only doing your research, but sometimes one of the lab manager might come to you and say, hey, can you quickly help building up this new fume hood that we just bought? And then you're there for half a day and help carrying around stuff, which was quite funny in the beginning. But now it's so much more professionalized. And we have this amazing research facility at the south of Maastricht, where there's over 100 people working at the same time in huge labs with amazing research tools and capabilities. It's still fascinating to me how quick that transition has happened.
And I think you can tell by just like talking to some of the folks at Mozameat that everyone was really wearing many different hats. And then as kind of like the company grew, now everyone was super focused, super specialized. And I think from an outsider looking in, it also was really exciting. And I had a big smile on my face as you were telling that story about sharing hoods to now having that new facility that you guys have, the Watermolen facility. You can get in touch with Tobias on LinkedIn, and you can learn more about Mozameat at www.mozameat.com. We'll put a link to the publication in the show notes. And so I wanted to ask you, Toby, if you were to kind of go back in time and tell yourself the 2018 version of Tobias before you emailed Dr. Post, if you had any advice to give that 2018 version, what would it be?
So at that time, I had to make the decision whether I want to get into this field or not. And I couldn't have possibly imagined how exciting it is. My advice, and I think it's maybe a bit generic because your listeners are already interested in cultured meat, but get into this field. It's like joining the automobile industry in the beginning of the 20th century. It's so new and you can still achieve so many amazing things. If there would be one thing that I could tell you is get involved. It's amazing.
I love it. I like that you mentioned you don't have to have a science background to get involved. There's really, you know, so many different ways to get involved. So awesome. Toby, thank you so much for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show.
Thank you very much.
This is your host, Alex, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
This program was produced by H Media. We'll see you soon.